All right. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I noticed that in your carpet you have a couple of well-pronounced spots here in the Iowa. The church that I first pastored in Illinois had such a spot that the carpet man in the church, we had a carpet guy in the church, drove him crazy that he could not get that spot out. And one of our sons vomited there and left that spot. And so the church designated that as the Jonathan Sturtzbach Memorial Carpet. And when they took their carpet out, they cut that square out and they sent it to us. Some 18 or 20 years later. So I see that you have a couple memorial spots also. Anyway, be that as it is. Psalm number 37. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Our Father, as we come unto thee today, we pray now that thou wilt look upon us. We have a lot of needs, O Lord. And you see every one of them. We may try to cover them up from others, but you know our personal and individual needs. God, I pray that you would speak now. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, that you would take your word and that you would then, oh God, apply it to our lives right where we need it. And Lord, that it may be the medicine for our souls, and that it may bring glory unto you, our God. Oh Lord, we pray that you would be well pleased and magnified in these moments together now. Lord, it's not what I say that is of importance. It's what you do. Have your way, we pray, our God. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Well, you notice on our passage, can you see that? The steps of a good man? Okay. So here, I'm on the other side of the curtain here. So. Steps of a good man, the scripture here is talking about a good man. And the word here is, it's not talking about a man in gender. It's speaking of a person here. The steps of a good person. In a more technical way, that word, a good man, is talking about a warrior or a valiant type. Someone that is a believer. And how important that is. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighted in his way. Years ago, we had a... am I changing? Okay. All right. We had a young man. We had interns that came to our home and lived in our home for 10 weeks every summer. Ministerial interns from Bible colleges across the country, all different Bible colleges. And I would have two interns every summer. And we did that for 25 years. That way they could see what the ministry was really like from the inside out. And in the middle of the night when I had emergency calls, I would get them up and take them with me to see what the pastorate's really like. And they went to all the meetings, all the deacons' meetings, all the committee meetings, all of the stuff. And they were involved virtually in every aspect of the ministry. And one of those guys that was with us was a young man named Joey Merrill. He was from International Baptist College in Chandler, Arizona. And he was the president of the student body in that school, and just a fine young man. Probably one of the best interns that we had ever had up to that point. He was just a fine young man, and I had a lot of confidence in him. And so he completed his summer with us. We had a wonderful time together, and he went back to school that year to finish his, I believe, his senior year. And Jelly was very special to everybody in our congregation. And that school, every year, even to this day, for 30-some years, at the end of the school year, they have a volunteer trip that anybody who wants to from the student body can go to the Grand Canyon, and they hike down from the rim down to the bottom of the canyon. Anybody here ever do that? Oh, wow, you missed a treat. Just one person, huh? Yeah, you guys did it, wow. And they did that every year, and it was led by the president of the school, was Jerry, Dr. Jerry Tetro, and for 30-some years he led them on that hike every year. And they would have a couple of hikes previous to the Grand Canyon just to try to get everybody in condition, because that's a pretty rigorous hike back up from the canyon. So they would go all the way down, and then they would hike all the way back up also. So that was pretty rigorous, even for college kids. And they would always tell the students, you don't have to stick with us together as a group. You know, you're college students now, but when you get down to the bottom, you get down to the river, don't get in the water. Don't get in the water. And he emphasized that all the time. Well, Joey was this vivacious young man, you know, and his two cousins, his brother and his cousin were with him. They had come out for this, for the finish of school, pick up their brother, take him back home, and the family was there. But the brother and the cousin were with Joey, and Joey was so excited for them to see the Grand Canyon, and they went on ahead, and they rushed down to the water, got down to the river far ahead of the others with all of their enthusiasm, and we don't know what happened. But I believe one of them got in the water, and when you got in the water, that current is so strong, it just takes you away. And I'm sure, knowing Joey's character, that he rushed to help his brother or his cousin who got in the water, and he got swept away, and the other sibling tried to rescue, and they all three were drowned. And it was a week or so afterwards before they were able to finally recover Joey's body. They got the other two bodies sooner, but it wasn't until graduation day that Joey's body was finally recovered. I say that to say this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. We can apply those verses when everything's going great. But does the Lord order things that come in difficulties and in problems like this? Well, the scripture here is talking about this in a right way. And it is, am I going forward? Okay. How am I?
You're going backwards.
Okay, how do I go forward here? Okay, wait a minute. Maybe. There we go. Now I got it. I got it. It said previous and it said next. So I think I got it now. Don't leave me. We'll get it here. But the scripture here is talking about this promise of of God to a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now in Romans 8:28, we know that the scripture says we know that all things work together. What did that say? All things work together for good to them that are called, that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God seeks to work in great and mighty ways in our lives, sometimes beyond what we can imagine or think. And the psalmist here says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So what is that actually talking about? What does that flesh out to look like? Well, the scripture here is talking about his steps, the steps of a good man. It's actually talking about the footsteps that one takes. The actual footsteps that we take in our life every day. How many footsteps do you take? My watch measures mine. I like to do over 10,000 steps in a day. The Lord orders every one of our footsteps along the way. My wife and I were in Cambodia a number of years ago with missionary Tom Johnson, great missionary. If you ever get a chance to hear him, he's a medical doctor, but he is probably the best soul winner alive. Anyway, he and I were walking out of his home, and as we were stepping over the threshold out onto the patio, he said to me, "Watch where you step." And so I'm looking down, and I'm stepping over a threshold, and the threshold had a little groove in it between the concrete from the patio and the foundation of the house. And right there, Tom said to me, he said, "Just this week I was walking out," and he said, "I stepped over the threshold, and as I did, I noticed something behind me. I turned around," and he said, "a king cobra was in that threshold, raised up, and his hood came out." He said, "If I had tramped on that, he would have struck me." He said, "I would have been a dead man." Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's exactly what the scripture here is talking about. The word ordered here is a word that is talking about erected, or we might say set up or arranged. You remember somebody in the Bible by the name of Job? And how that Job was a man that lost all of his livestock, all of his cattle. He lost all of his camels. He lost all of his asses. All of the livestock that he had. And in a series of tragedies that happened all in a row. And then, following that, his 10 children were meeting in his oldest son's house. They were having a family reunion together, just the kids, and a tornado came through and hit the house, and all 10 of his children were killed instantly. And to make things even worse for Job, he then lost his health, he was so ill, he was had boils over his body so that he couldn't even stand. And finally his wife said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He was so miserable. Lost his children, lost everything that they had, lost his health. Was God in it? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Maybe you have some medical things and some physical things going on in your life. And you wonder, is God in this? Why is God not taking this away? Why is God not helping me? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They were in Job's case, and we know what happened in Job's case. And we say, yes, yes, I can see it now. But you can't see it at the time you went through it. Job couldn't. Neither can we. You remember a guy in the Bible by the name of Joseph? He had 10 older brothers at this point in his life, and he was the baby of the family. Dad loved Joseph, and so Dad made him a special coat. many times we call it the coat of many colors. And Joseph's brothers got jealous of him, and they took him and put him into a pit. And then they took that coat that they resented so bitterly because their dad had made it especially for him. They knew he was the favorite child. And they took that coat then and they ripped it up, made it look like an animal, had torn it up, and they dipped it in blood. And so it was blood saturated. And then they sold Joseph into slavery. And they took the coat back to his dad and said, it looks like an animal killed Joseph. And this is what we found. And his dad was brokenhearted. Can you imagine Joseph when he had begged with his brothers, please don't do this to me. Don't sell me into slavery. His brothers laughed at him and sold him to the Midianites. Can you imagine Joseph as he's being carried away in that caravan with those heathen people away from his brothers, and he's looking back. He's brokenhearted because he's going into a life that he cannot escape. He's sold into slavery. One of the most evil and wicked things that could happen to anyone in their life. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now you know the rest of the story of Joseph if you're familiar with the Bible and you know what happened, and you say, yes, look how God used that in his life. But that's what God does in your life too. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God is the one who works in great ways and does great things. You remember a guy by the name of Paul? Paul the Apostle, and he was on a ship, and the ship was in a hurricane for over 14 days, and they had finally thrown everything out of the ship that they could throw out, and the ship was then caught, and it was being torn to pieces by this hurricane that had just beat upon it and beat upon it, and they didn't know what to do, and everyone thought, all of the sailors thought, everyone was going to die. And God spoke to Saul, to Paul, and said, everyone's got to throw themselves into the water, and not a single person will die. As the ship breaks up, they'll just, even those that can't swim, will grab a piece of the ship, and it will carry them to the land. And that's exactly what happened. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God seeks to direct in our lives because God is omnipotent. He is that God that knows what lays ahead. He knew what was before Joseph. He knew what he was going to do in Job's life. He knew what was going to happen with Paul and all of those people that were with him, because he is that omniscient God that knows what lays ahead. He is that omnipresent God that was with them through those critical circumstances. He was with Job when his children were killed, when he lost everything, when he was going through his medical issues. God was there with him. The steps of a good man are arranged by the Lord. If you are one of those that are a child of God and Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and God is with you, then God will guide you and direct you every step of that way. God is the one that is omnipotent, like he was with Joseph. So one day, Joseph, who had been a slave for some number of years now, and had gone from prison to prison and had gone from difficulty to difficulty, and even in his innocency and his integrity as Joseph did right, and every time it seemed like more difficulty poured upon him. But the omnipotent God of all eternity brought into Joseph's purview some people, some men in the jail who had dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and God was going to lead one of those men back to the Pharaoh. He's going to talk to the Pharaoh who had a dream and nobody could interpret it. And he said, I know a guy in the prison who I remember when I was in prison for him and with him, and he interpreted my dream, and maybe he can interpret yours. And so Pharaoh called for Joseph and brought him out. And the same day, Joseph was taken from slavery into being the deliverer of Israel. That's the kind of power that God has. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He can change our circumstances. He can work in our situations. He can direct in our ways because of all of those things that he does. God is that one that works in a powerful way and in a great way. And the scripture says that God delights in his way. He delights and is pleased in his road that he brings into our lives. He directs. When Job lost everything, was God pleased? Well, the scripture indicates that he was, because he knew what was going to happen. He knew the end of the way. He knew what he was going to do. He knows what he's going to do in your life and seeks to work then in that great way. When Joseph was heartbroken, he's being carried away in slavery, and he's thinking, my life is over. There's nothing. There's no hope for me. As he's being carried away, God delights because he knows what he's going to do in Joseph's life, and he knows what Joseph is going to become in the hand of God, in the direction of the Lord. He recognizes those things. The scripture here talks about how that God is pleased with the circumstances of our lives, even when it's not pleasing to us, because he is the omniscient God. He is the omnipotent God. When Job lost everything, God was pleased. When Joseph was sold into slavery, God was well pleased because he knew what the end of the story was going to be. When Paul almost died in the hurricane, God was pleased because he knew what he was going to do. So why does God delight in our way? Well, the scripture here is talking about in his way is the road that he trods. That is the road that God has arranged and the road that God has chosen for you and for me. That road, the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. He is the one that chooses your way. He is the one that directs in that way. He is the one that guides that way because he knows the end of the story. He knows what's going to happen in your life. And as we confidently look at him, trust in him, believe on him, like Joseph did, every time along the way, Joseph did what was right, even though it was difficult for him, because Joseph knew the end of his story. And Joseph knew that God was going to do what is right. That's exactly where the Lord wants us to be. He is right there through it all. God is the one that will be right there with you all the way. He was with Job through all those circumstances. He was with Paul through that hurricane. He was with Israel through their 430 years of slavery in Egypt. He is the one that delights in our way because he knows where we're going. He knows what he's going to do in your life. And he can change things that he is ready. God can change things like he did with Joseph. Joseph was in slavery. Joseph was hopeless. There was no Joseph had no idea that God was working, and then all of a sudden, the man spoke to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Bring him to me." And that very day, everything changed. That's the way the omnipotent God works. It's the God that orders our life. He works in our life. He directs in special ways. He can change things in a moment. He is our God. And the promises that He gives us about our way is for us to recognize in faith and confidence. But there is a possibility for a good man also. And the next verse talks about that. As it says, though he fall, though that good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Aren't you glad that God understands our weakness, our failure? He understands that when we are going through things like Job and like Joseph, and like Paul, and like the children of Israel, that He is the one that recognizes that sometimes we are those ones that fall. It's because good people sometimes fall. The word fall there means to collapse down to the ground. It is when we are just at our dead level and Psalm 145, verse 14, puts it this way. There is a possibility for everyone to fail. And in that 14th verse, it says, though the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. God is the one that understands your weakness. He understands your failure. He understands when we have come to the end of our road. He is the one that will lift us up and carry us when we are cast down. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. It is that that hand of God that sustains us, that strengthens us. Micah in chapter 7 and verse 8 says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. It is how that our God directs us, and there is that possibility of failure in everyone. But failure is not expected, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility. To be utterly cast down, as this passage talks about, means to be flung down as in a hopeless situation. Joseph felt like he was in a hopeless situation. Job felt like he was in a hopeless situation. He had lost all that was important to him. Paul was in that hurricane for 14 days. Imagine being in a hurricane 14 days, that the ship is literally tearing apart and seems like it is a hopeless situation. But God is our sustainer, our strength, and our help. He is that one that will lift us up and guide us in every way. The psalm goes on to talk about, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. God will uphold us with his hand. The word uphold there means to prop us up. He will lift us up. He is that one that will give us his direction and his help in every way. Good people are upheld by God's hand. We are propped up. We are lifted up by His hand. I used to pastor in a small rural area. We had a lot of farmers in the church. And like this church, on Sunday mornings when they would come to church, I would shake hands with those farmers. They had big, strong hands. Farmers were used to pulling those udders and milking those cows, and they had strong fingers and they had strong hands, and their hands were usually rough from milking the cows. And when I shook hands with them, their great big hand would encompass my little soft pastor's hand, and they would squeeze my hand. They would say, "Good morning, good to see you," and they would all just about crush my hand. They were so powerful, they were so strong, and they had that rough feel about them. The Bible here is talking about God's hand, how that His hand is that hand, that powerful hand that will lift us up in the midst of our difficulty. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And the scripture here is saying, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. It is that hand that is of such great importance. For the New Testament believer in John chapter 10, Jesus said it this way: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The hand of God. When we are safe in the hand of Jesus, when we are safe in the hand of our God, no one can take them away. It is that safe place. It is that powerful place. Job knew that ultimately. Joseph saw that ultimately. The Apostle Paul recognized that ultimately. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God seeks to work in our lives, every one of us, and He seeks them to present us as a good man. The psalmist here Psalm 37, David now is an old king. It's in the final days of his life. And he testifies in this and says, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Why is that? Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Joseph couldn't see it at the time he was going through it, but he ultimately saw the hand of God. And Job couldn't see it when he was brokenhearted and his children were all dead and his livestock and his whole livelihood was gone. And that when his body was broken, he couldn't see it. But ultimately, he said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken." God is faithful. Mark it down in your book. My mom used to say when I was a little kid, "And you just mark this down in your little black book." I didn't have a little black book, but I ultimately came to understand what she was talking about. Mark it down. God is faithful.
Amen.
He is the one. The steps of a good man are arranged by the Lord, and He will not leave you dangling in the wind. If you are His child, He will guide you. He will sustain you. He will uplift you. The righteous here, as it's talking about, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken," is talking about the justified, the loosed, and He will not leave us cut loose. He will not leave us. This is because of the characteristics of God, and that's what's mentioned in verse 26 of this passage, is that God is ever merciful. He is that one that will be with us. The word merciful means to bend or to stoop to an inferior in kindness. It's when someone more powerful than you and who holds the ability is then merciful, and he reaches down to you in your hopelessness and he helps you because God is merciful. By the way, when we go through the circumstances like Joseph, we go through circumstances like Job. When we face the storms of life like Paul, it's then that we must call upon the mercy of God. And we call out to Him, "Oh God, be merciful to me. Help me in my weakness. Help me in my problem and my issues." God is sensitive to the voice of His people. When they cry out, we get serious with Him to cry out for mercy and for God's help to be with us in every way. It is then that God seeks to work in us. The scripture here says that He is merciful and He lendeth. This word lendeth, an old English word in the KJV, it means twines, or it means unites with. That is, when we go through these circumstances and we call out to God for His mercy, that then God binds Himself to us. Have you noticed this in your life? I've noticed that when I go through crises, I go through tragedy or difficulty or impossibility, and I call out to God because there's nowhere else to go, and I really get serious in crying out to God and pleading with God, and He just unites with me. It's the time I feel the most intimacy with God. And that then He works in a mighty way, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it's then that He unites with me. And the scripture here is making David, King David, is referencing that. And he uses that situation to bless his children. Notice it says in verse 26, his seed is blessed. It's there that God works, and that God, because of His characteristics and His mercies, then works in us as His children. We see God work. Job saw God work in a tremendous way. Joseph saw God deliver him and do the impossible. Paul on that ship saw the hand of God rescue everyone that was in that ship, even those that could not swim, that they were all rescued miraculously by the hand of God. And when we see God do those kinds of things, it causes our confidence to be grown in Him and our trust to be in Him. It is what God does. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. So God has arranged your footsteps. You may fall, but God is there to lift you up by His almighty hand. Praise the Lord for that. It is that which God will do. But what if you are not a child of God? Well, the scripture here is talking about how that God has arranged our footsteps, who are steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. But unsaved people, you're not under that. You're not under that protection. You're on your own. You will be like you are in that storm, that hurricane of life that is blowing you, tossed to and fro. You know not where to go. The uplifting hand, the powerful hand of God is not there for you, because you're not His child. And so when you cry out for mercy, God is willing to give you His mercy, which is found in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that He sent to this earth to die for our sins. And Jesus came as that perfect one. He was born of a virgin, so nobody could miss it. He is different than all others. He is the Savior. And then He lived this perfect life that never sinned. And He had 12 apostles that were following Him around and saw Him every day for 3.5 years, that He was the perfect one, the only sinless Lamb of God. And then He died on the cross for our sins. And they took Him in His perfection, in His innocency. They crucified Him on the cross, and He died as the substitute for you and me. as the Savior of the world. And the way that we come to Him is by believing on Him, by receiving Him as our Savior, by coming to Jesus in saving faith and saying, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I have failed God, and I know, but Jesus is the Savior, and I come to Him believing on Him that He paid the price for all of my sin, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, that He is the Savior, and I want to receive Him as my Savior. When one comes to Him, then the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Have you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you believed on Him as your Lord and Savior? This is a beautiful thing. You can come to Him and receive Him as your Savior today, right here, by believing on Him and receiving Him as your personal Savior. I trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in that storm. Maybe you're facing those crises and those difficulties. Maybe you are being tossed about by this wicked world that is crushing you on every side, and you're saying, God, help me, God, help me. You come to Him, first of all, by believing on Him and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We'd be happy to show you, help you to make that decision today, and that God may be able to work in your life. He has arranged our footsteps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in those ways of a person that knows Him as Savior. But if not, won't you come to Him today? Won't you believe on Jesus Christ today? Won't you receive Him as your Savior right now, right here? Let's pray. Father, as we come unto Thee today, oh Lord, if there's someone who's here today, or someone who's looking in on the stream today that does not know You as their Savior, may today be that day for them. Many, many that are here have made that decision already, but someone who has not yet, oh Lord, been crushed in the things of this life, oh God, help them to come to You in saving faith and to know the mercy and the grace of God and the help of God as they come to You in saving faith. Have Your way in these moments of decision. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to turn to You, may today be that day that they would come in saving faith and come to Jesus as their personal Savior. Oh God, we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.